Well, are you ready to hear some good news today?
Amen.
It's good to come to church and hear good things, isn't it?
Yes.
Amen. Be reminded. Be reminded. I love the fact that God is a God of order and consistency. And, you know, Terry and I were talking, you know, I at home, I like, certainly my house gets messy because it does, but I like to have order. There's so much in my world that I cannot control. Anybody feel like that sometimes? That sometimes when I come home, I'd like to just have things in their place because it helps me cope with all the things that aren't in their place and don't feel like they're in their place and that I have no control over. And that's what I love about the consistency of God. He loves us faithfully and consistently, and we can count on that. There's order in that. There's that we can count on that even when things are out of order. In other areas of our life, there's always order, God's love, God's peace. We can trust that in our life, and it brings stability. It brings hope. You know, I think Davy said earlier that it would be horrible to be without hope. You know, and we can trust in God's love. That brings us hope. It brings hope. Let's pray before we get started, and I just trusting that God's just going to speak through me what you need to hear today. Amen. Father, we just trust you today. I thank you that I just yield myself to you. I yield my lips and my mind and my emotions to you today. Father, I just thank you that you have a good word to share with all of us, to encourage us and to give us hope. And Father, I just thank you for just ministering to every person and giving them just what they need today. In Jesus' name, amen. Today, the name of my message is Living Extraordinary in the Ordinary. You know, sometimes there's a lot of pressure to do something great in our lives. And I do believe God wants to do great things in our lives. That's not untrue. But sometimes we're looking for it in the wrong place. And I think that sometimes what Jesus came to do is he came to show us the heart of the Father. And I know like our theme this year is to see 2020, to have a clear view, and that clear view is of his love, that is the greatest. And I know like 1 Corinthians chapter 13, the greatest of these things is love. And that sometimes that we miss in the simplicity of our lives, in the ordinary, everyday, routine things of our lives. We miss how extraordinary God can be in the middle of those things. And sometimes there's a lot of pressure to do something that just stands out. But the truth is, and in this day and age and in our culture, what stands out is love. What stands out is how we treat people in the middle of difficulty. And love isn't just like laying over and not maybe confronting something, because sometimes to love someone, we need to confront something. But it's how we confront something. Am I confronting it in anger and bitterness and just frustration? Or am I coming humbly to that person and with humility and love and care and compassion, telling them the truth, even at the risk of them getting mad at me? Because, you know, sometimes I haven't confronted things because I've really been selfish. I've loved me more than I've loved them because I haven't wanted to confront something because I have been afraid that they'd reject me or how they would treat me. I didn't want to deal with that. Yeah. You know, and so love isn't just like laying over and just like, you know, not dealing with things. But it's how we deal with things. And it's loving people through the process of their change. And it's loving someone even when they have been unloving to us. And that's really what the extraordinary thing we're going to talk about today. I'm going to start my theme scripture is Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, a familiar one. And we're going to kind of break it down this morning into three parts. But I want to read the whole thing to start with. So here's what I want you to do. God helping you, take your everyday, ordinary life. I love how it says that. You're sleeping, you're eating, going to work, walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. Embracing what God does for you is the best thing you can do for Him. Don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking. Instead, fix your attention on God. You'll be changed from the inside out. Readily recognize what He wants from you and quickly respond to it. Unlike the culture around you, always dragging you down to its level of immaturity, God brings out the best of you, develops a well-formed maturity in you. God wants to do something extraordinary in our everyday lives. So let's read that first part again. So here's what I want you to do. God helping you, take your everyday, ordinary life, your sleeping, eating, going to work, walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. Not so that He'll be more pleased with you, because it's like, it's how He wants to use you. It's because of what you've experienced in Him, we get to lay that before Him. We get to take everything that we've experienced in Him, and we get to allow it to flow out of us. You know, God always used the ordinary. Jesus inserted Himself into ordinary, everyday life. He was born in a stable. How much more ordinary can you get than that? I mean, that's like below ordinary. I mean, I don't even think that was the custom of theirs. I think most people were born in their homes. They didn't even have a home or an inn wasn't even available. Jesus was born in a stable. He chose 12 ordinary men. They weren't like the priests from the temple. They weren't like rich and wealthy, and they were fishermen. They were like ordinary guys working ordinary jobs. Jesus went to the least extraordinary people. He reached out and ministered to the people who were the least respected and demonstrated love, compassion, and healing to them. I mean, I love the story of Zacchaeus. I mean, he was a tax collector. I mean, that was like the most despised job because they were thieves. And he came into town, and there's Zacchaeus who'd heard about Jesus. Obviously, he was searching for something. Or he wouldn't have been there. And there, Jesus passed by all the prominent people and all the people you think he would have went to their house to impress and to get behind his ministry. Instead, he went to the tax collector. And he says, I'm coming to your house today. I mean, that's why the religious leaders of that day hated him. He was so opposite of everything they modeled or even believed about God, because they were going to realize that even in Romans chapter 12, 1 and 2, this was being written to a people that were coming out of an old covenant mentality. That they were trying to break free. Just think about how we are. I mean, we hear about the love of God, we hear about the grace of God, and that it's not based on our performance, but that filter of performance takes time to disintegrate and break down. We still want to filter our world and the things that how we live through that performance-based mentality. And this scriptures were being written and were reminding them that this is that they were no longer supposed to live according to that culture. And the culture they were talking about was that old covenant law performance culture. But I'm here to tell you that even if you like here of us that sit today, maybe some of us were raised in church and we heard a performance-based gospel that reinforced our need to have to perform to get God to do anything in our lives or to love us in our lives. Or maybe you weren't raised in church at all, and so you've never really considered that to be an attribute of God. You thought He's always loved us. But our culture, whether demands performance. So even if you haven't had that reinforced through bad religious teaching, it is still a mindset we have to overcome, because everything in our culture says it's about do more, do it better, do it the best. It's not enough. You got more. You got to move higher. You got to make more money. You got to be in a higher position at work. You got to do more, 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 more. Anybody ever feel that pressure? And so even if you haven't had bad teaching, we still have that pressure and that mindset that's so easy to translate that into our relationship with God. So Jesus did not come to establish power and control. He came to establish relationship. And that's a mindset that was being broken back in that day. But that's a mindset that still needs to be broken within us, that we tend to want to go. Sometimes it becomes about power and control. Even if you just think, well, just power and control over my own life. I've got to control everything. I've got to make sure everything's okay. And then we just start operating from this place of fear and torment in our own minds, because you can't control everything and we're never going to have enough power to make everything all right. And that's never God's intent. And Jesus came to model the fact that that isn't his intent. He came to love. I think about the woman who was caught in adultery, and you know, she was, you know, brought before him, and they were trying to get Jesus to you know, see what he was going to do with that situation and see how he was going to confront it and try to entrap him. And instead, you know, obviously he, in his wisdom, says, "He who has no sin casts the first stone." Well, you know, her accusers all walked away. And instead he said to her, you know, "Neither do I condemn you, go and sin no more." I mean, Jesus constantly came. He wasn't trying to come in and take over, and he confronted with love. He came to establish not power and control, but he came to establish relationship. I want to challenge us. We're frustrated. What's our motive? If we are frustrated in our relationships, if we're frustrated at work, is it because we're trying to establish power and control instead of relationship? You know, because it is only going to breed frustration. God will give you wisdom to walk through what you're walking through. He will. He will show you what to do and how to respond. But this isn't about you just taking control of things and trying to power through it, making it happen all on your own. This is, if something's not working, it's time to step back, and it's time to listen, to let go of control, to admit that you can't do it on your own, and to say, "God, I need you." I want to read the next part of that scripture again in Romans chapter 12, verses 1-2. It says, "Embracing what God does for you is the best thing you can do for him. Don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking. Instead, fix your attention on God. You'll be changed from the inside out." How do we let God take our lives and do something extraordinary? By embracing what he's done for us. This was being, as we were talking about, this was being written to people who were coming out of the performance-based system of the Old Covenant, struggling to relate to God based solely on a loving relationship and not on performance. That is the work, if I could say it like that, of the Christian life, is to renew our mind to the fact that it's not about us, that it's about him. I'm going to read Romans chapter 8, verses 5 through 11. I think this is so powerful because it's such a reminder of how we can get our focus on the wrong things. It says, "Those who think they can do it on their own end up obsessed with measuring their own moral muscle, but never get around to exercising it in real life. Those who trust God's action in them find that God's Spirit is in them, living and breathing God. Obsession with self in these matters is a dead end." How many times, without even realizing it, we are obsessed with us and what we can do to fix what's going on instead of being focused on God and believing and trusting what he's doing in that situation. And I don't know about you, as a mom, sometimes the hardest place to let that trust be is with my kids. You know, you want to do something, to fix it. You feel like, I need to do something. Sometimes I even get obsessed with the fact that they wouldn't even be in the situation if I would been a better mom or a better parent, or if I would have done this at this point in their life or that in that point in their life. Well, the truth is that we do, as parents, the best that we know how to do at the time, and none of us are perfect. But God is bigger than that. And the truth is they don't need to look to us to save them. They need to look to God. That's who they need to trust. So those who trust God's actions in them find that God's Spirit in them, living and breathing, God. Obsession with self in these matters is a dead end. Attention to God leads us out into the open, into a spacious, free life. Focusing on self is the opposite of focusing on God. Anyone completely absorbed in self ignores God, ends up thinking more about self than God. That person ignores who God is and what he is doing, and God isn't pleased with being ignored. And when I read that line, it's not like he's mad at us, but he knows that if we ignore him, he's not going to be able to work in our lives like he wants to. Keep in mind, even to read all of these things, is God is never angry at you. But if God himself has taken up residence in your life, you can hardly be thinking more of yourself than of him. Anyone, of course, who has not welcomed this invisible but clearly present God, the Spirit of Christ, won't know what we're talking about. But for you that have welcomed him and in whom he dwells, even though you still experience all of the limitations of sin, you yourself experience life on God's terms. It stands to reason, doesn't it, that if the alive and present God who raised Jesus from the dead moves into your life, he'll do the same thing in you that he did in Jesus, bringing you alive to himself. When God lives and breathes in you, and he does as surely as he did in Jesus, you are delivered from the dead life. With his Spirit living in you, your body will be as alive as Christ's. That's our hope. That's the mindset that we have to establish in our thinking. That's what our soul needs to be changed into, that mentality. Not the mentality of our culture where it's all about you and it's all about what you can do, how many degrees you have, how many accomplishments you can have, what you can do. It is about trusting in him. Now, does God want you to have things for you to do and places to go? He does. He wants you to accomplish things in your life. But your worth and your value, and you're not going to muscle your way into making it happen by just trying to power through it. And in whatever you do accomplish, there won't be any peace involved in it. But instead, if we trust God, he will lead us. He will cause us to fulfill the things that he has for us. Because God does have things for us to do. Amen. He just wants us to approach it in a way where we're letting God do it through us. That where we're trusting him. It's not about trying to make everything happen on my own. It's listening to him. It's renewing our mind to the fact that God's for us. And that when we stay focused on him, we're more apt to hear what he's telling us to do. And then we're certainly going to operate in the midst of our circumstances in a place of peace instead of a place of fear. And I think what's interesting about the Christian life is that so many things, it's like outwardly don't look that different. But it's that inward place of what we're thinking and what we're believing and what we're trusting. I mean, we still need to pray. We still should renew our mind to the scriptures. We should still, we need to treat people well and right and love. And we're talking about this extraordinary love. But it is not so that God will be pleased with us and do something in our lives. It's because God has already done something in our lives and we're putting our trust in that. It's the motivation. It is just what is motivating you. The culture of that day still remains the culture of this day. Self-focused, not God-focused. Focusing on who he is and what he has done for us changes us from the inside out. Changing the focus of our mind, changing the way we think, renewing and transforming our mind to a different way of approaching life. Focusing on self-effort does nothing but drag us down. So if you are feeling discouraged, if you are feeling overwhelmed, I just encourage you, what are you focused on? Are you focused on you and yourself and what you can do to make something happen? Are you focused on God and believing that God is at work because he's on your side? And that he cares about everything. He cares about your job. He cares about your family. He cares about your health. He cares about the things that you're afraid of. He cares about your children. He cares about everything that you care about. And he is faithful. Just like what I just love what God's been echoing throughout this whole service. He is faithful. Even when we're faithless, even on your worst day, when you are just like having the worst emotional day possible, and you're mad at God instead of trusting God because you don't know why things haven't changed yet. He is still faithful. He is still working. He has not. You don't have to back up. You can keep pressing forward. He cares about you and everything that you care about.
Amen.
The next part of the scripture is that says, readily recognize what he wants from you and quickly respond to it. Unlike the culture around you, always dragging you down to its level of immaturity, God brings out the best out of you, develops well-formed maturity in you. I want to read Ephesians chapter 5. Let's take a look at that, verses 1 through 2. It says, watch what God does, and then you do it. I love this scripture. Like children who learn proper behavior from their parents, mostly what God does is love you. What are you mostly doing? What am I mostly doing? Am I mostly running around trying to fix everything, or am I loving in the people in the process of their change? Am I more focused on doing, or am I more focused on loving? Mostly what God does is love you. Keep company with him and learn a life of love. Observe how Christ loved us. His love was not cautious, but extravagant. You know, we're cautious when we haven't really embraced God's love for us personally. Amen. If you find yourself still being really cautious in your relationships, then I would encourage you to have you really embraced love and forgiveness for yourself so that you can give it to other people. Caution comes from fear. And the Bible says there's no fear in love. His love was not cautious, but extravagant. He didn't love in order to get something from us. I love this statement. But to give everything of himself to us. Love like that. Wow. You know, to really come to a place in 2020 to really allow the love of God to impact our emotions to the point that we can love like that, that we're not looking to get something out of our relationships, but we're looking to give everything of ourselves in our relationships. Not so people love us or like us or we're trying to win someone over. Excuse me. But so that because we really have experienced the love of God for ourselves. You know, if we're being cautious, then dive into love more. If we're feeling frustrated, dive into love more. Because God loves you unabandoned. He loves you, as it says here, his love is extravagant for you. Responding to and embracing God's extravagant love is how we take our ordinary lives and make them extraordinary. Living and loving like Jesus, not to get something for ourselves, but to give everything of ourselves to others, to love like that. It is extraordinary to love like Jesus loved. I want to read one last scripture out of Colossians chapter 2, verses 2 through 4. And it says, I want you woven into a tapestry of love, in touch with everything there is to know about God. I love how it says that. I want you woven into a tapestry of love, in touch with everything there is to know about God. God is love. I mean, I know we hear that. It sounds so cliche, because we've heard it so much. Excuse me. But God is love. He really is. There is nothing that you or I can do to change how he looks at us. And really, the born-again experiences, that's just awakening to that. I know I've had to really rethink everything that, you know, I've been taught and believed. And the real born-again experience is to have a new thought process born in my mind that awakens to the fact that God has never, ever not loved me and has always been on my side. And what Jesus did was, like Terry said, it wasn't to come and save us from big, bad, angry daddy God and take all of our punishment that we deserved from him. But instead, it was to lay his life down in demonstration when big, bad, Roman, Jewish, angry religious leaders took his life. And he laid his life down and said, "They don't even know what they're doing." Was his response to it. And he came to demonstrate the love of the Father. Jesus says, "If you've seen me, you've seen the Father."
Right.
I mean, the disciples are like, "Show us the Father, show us the Father." He says, "If you've seen me, you've seen the Father." He was showing them such an opposite God that they had been taught. And they were just beginning the journey of understanding what Jesus really came to show them.
Yeah.
I mean, the disciples still thought that Jesus was going to overtake the tyranny of the Roman government. I was going to set up an earthly kingdom, and he was going to save them all from the corruption and tyranny of that day. That's why they were surprised. I mean, I still believe Judas was only trying to force Jesus' hand to do something. I mean, I don't think Judas hated Jesus. I think he thought, "Oh, I'm just going to manipulate and think about what we do. I'm going to try to take control, and I know Jesus has power. He's been seeing him demonstrate all these miracles." And I believe he thought if he got confronted with the Romans to be taken, I think he thought he wouldn't allow that to happen. Yes. But instead, I mean, he did just the opposite. He laid down his life. He kept demonstrating love. He kept demonstrating that because his intent was to show us who the Father was. His intent was to establish further his spiritual kingdom so that we would understand that we have never been separated from him and that we would begin to believe that the God of the universe is one with us.
Amen. Yes. Praise God.
And that's what we get the opportunity in our ordinary, everyday, going to work, sleeping, taking care of our families, when we experience that reality in our lives, we get to give that out. That's what becomes extraordinary. And God has gifted each and every one of you with different things. And so you're going to be in different worlds. Some of you are going to be like me and be crunching numbers. And some of you are going to be nurses. And some of you are going to be work at retail shops, and some of you are going to be barbers, and some of you are going to be software techies, and some of you are going to be in all kinds of different worlds and realms that you're going to be in, and you are going to get to influence those worlds and do something extraordinary in those places, and he wants to take that. So be looking, be allowing God to do something on the inside of you. Keep embracing, keep letting your focus in 2020 be his love and what he's done for you and who he is on the inside of you and that he's for you. And you, as you continue to embrace that, that's what you're going to give out. That's what's going to be extraordinary about what you're going to do in life, is because you're going to get to model that and respond to situations and react to things around you in a way that models what God has done on the inside of you and has done for each and every person. Because you might be the only Jesus someone gets to experience. Because maybe they've been raised to think that, you know, either don't know anything about God or been raised to believe in a performance-based God, and you're going to get to experience something different and something extraordinary through you. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Let's stand up.
Praise God.
Gee, you're not going to know what to do. It's 11:11 here. Well, Father, we just come to you in the name of Jesus. And Father, we just thank you that we believe who you are on the inside of us. And Father, we embrace the most extraordinary thing about you, and that is that you love us, and that you are faithful to us, and that you are at work in our lives, and that you are at work in our situations and circumstances, and that you care about us, and that it's impossible for you not to be moving in our lives. It's impossible for you not to be working in us and through us and in around us. And Father, help us not to miss the simplicity of that, that is the extraordinary thing that you want to do in us. Father, help us to find our value and our worth in who you say that we are. And Father, so that from that place we can give into other people's lives and that we can help other people experience the fact that they are valued and that they have worth. And Father, I just thank you for that. We trust you. We trust you today. We keep our eyes on you. We keep our focus on you. And we believe that you are good and that you are working good things in and through us. And we thank you for that. In the name of Jesus. Amen. 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 Amen.